So Lord, we come to you today like children who have nothing to offer but their neediness. And our hands are outstretched and open wide, ready not to give to you, but to receive from you. We are the ones who have need. We are the ones who are lacking. We are the ones who are without. You are the one who is all sufficient, who is all knowing, who is all powerful, who is full of love and grace and mercy. So we ask that you would speak to our lives this day and provide what we need. That you would bring forth a response that would reveal that we believe that you are all we need. May Christ be revealed. May Christ be glorified. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to dismiss the children at this time. If you're going to children's church, we'll see you later. And there they go. If you're staying with me, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5 as we move on in our series of sermons from the Gospel of Luke, where Luke presents Jesus as this great king who comes to us, bringing with him his kingdom. A few weeks ago, we talked about how in his hometown, Jesus defined his mission to bring hope and deliverance and salvation and jubilee to the world as his kingdom comes among us. And I wonder, does Jesus still do that today? Does he still work to bring his kingdom and all that comes with it into our world? And if he does he still call people to participate in the advancement of his kingdom? And if he still calls people, who gets called? Who gets to do that? And if it's me, what does Jesus expect of me? What is it that he's calling me to do? Today, we'll look at the way Jesus invited some of his first followers to follow him. Hopefully find some answers to these questions. But look with me in Luke chapter 5. Start reading in verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So, some things to say then about the calling that Jesus places on our life that we can see here in the text. Things that are important for us to remember. Here's the first one. I'm called to recognize the truth about Jesus and myself. And this is where it starts. We must recognize the truth of who Jesus is. And then we have to come to terms with the truth of who we are. Especially in light of how we understand Jesus. Now it tells us in the text that the crowds were pressing in around Jesus there at what is the Sea of Galilee. The fishermen were there as well. They had been out all night fishing, and now they were cleaning their nets. Jesus gets into the boat of Simon Peter to have the opportunity to get out a little from the shore and teach the large crowds who were gathering around there. Afterwards, Jesus tells Peter to head out into the deep water and go fishing. So essentially, you have the son of a carpenter who's also a traveling teacher telling the professional fisherman how to fish. Now, my understanding with fishermen is you don't do that. You don't even ask them where they fish. They'll lie and deflect, all those sorts of things. And Peter patiently explains to Jesus that the conditions were not right for fishing. It was daylight. The kind of fishing that they did with those nets was done at night, and you just didn't do it during the day. They had already been out all night, worked hard, the language says. They had toiled, doing wearisome work that produced nothing. And so it just did not make any sense to ask his crews to go out again and try the same thing. But for whatever reason, Peter agrees, and he goes out and he casts the nets. Now, they are almost immediately successful in their fishing endeavor, so much so that the boats are overflowing. The language says their nets are straining to the point of breaking. He calls to his partners, James and John, for help, and there is fish spilling out everywhere, and it must have been quite a scene, unlike any of your fishing trips, I wager. So, in the rush of everything that's going on, something profound dawns on Simon Peter. What has taken place is no accident. It's a miracle. Even on his best day of fishing, there's no way he could come close to the catch that they had just tried to pull in and was sinking their boats. What had taken place was no accident. Only an agent of God could have produced such a catch, especially in the middle of the day. There's some things we need to see here. The miraculous catch of fish revealed Jesus' divine nature to Simon. And in the text, Luke wastes no time explaining how the miracle occurred. He just says it happened. And we are to get the sense that it was Jesus exercising his divine power, his supernatural power, period. And they caught all of these fish. And we are to understand the same way Simon Peter understood, that it is God working through Jesus. God in all of his power is present and expressing himself through Jesus. And so Simon Peter may have been thinking, who is this guy? This carpenter man, you know, telling me how to fish. He gets a sense that this is God's man, this is God's agent. And realizing that he stands in the presence of the man of God, Simon Peter feels compelled to sort out where he stands with the Lord God Almighty. Holy cow! You know, he's sizing himself up in light of God's revelation to him there through the miraculous catch. And so he bows before Jesus, and he speaks words full of respect and awe. He says an extraordinary truth. And he implores Jesus to leave him alone. He has the sense of unworthiness for this miraculous catch of fish. The premise behind the remark is that the man of God would surely want to have nothing to do with a man like Simon Peter, who is just a common everyday sinner. So finding himself in the presence of the divine made Simon Peter realize and confess his own sinfulness. Peter knows that only God's power in Jesus made that catch possible. He says three things that are extraordinary. First, he asks Jesus to depart. That communicates his sense of unworthiness, his sense of undeserving, that he does not want to involve a man like Jesus in his own life and his affairs. Second, Peter realizes his own character. He says, I am a sinful man, which is the honest truth of the situation. Third, Peter addresses Jesus as Lord. Earlier, he'd called him master or teacher. Now, he calls him Lord. He recognizes Jesus' authority along with the presence and power of God working through Jesus. And having recognized the truth about Jesus, and having admitted and recognizing the truth about himself, he's a sinful man, Simon Peter then experiences God's grace. Verse 9, it indicates that neither Peter nor his partners deserved this miraculous catch of fish. They are overwhelmed. It is obviously a miracle. And they're asking, why now? And Simon Peter says, I'm a sinner. I do not deserve this. Further, God's holy presence here in the boat with us might not just expose my sin, but judge me the way I deserve to be judged, as a sinner in God's presence. He knows he's unclean. He is unworthy. But it's also important to note that Peter is not punished, nor is he destroyed. Jesus does not moralize at all about Peter's sin. As a result of being in the presence of God, the sinner, Simon Peter, receives simply one thing. Fish! More fish than he'd ever seen in his life. His boat's sinking, he's got so much fish. It's coming out everywhere. Probably enough fish to shut his business down and go on vacation for a while. And that's grace. He didn't deserve it. There's no way he could have produced it on his own. And yet, there it was, by the very power of God. Here's what I want to say to you. Jesus does not require my perfection. Jesus does not require my complete understanding of who he is and what he is doing. All Jesus requires is my needing. My understanding of who I am. My understanding of how much I need Him and what He does. That's what Jesus asks of me. Now, some of you have been to the Holy Land. You may have been to Bethlehem at the Church of the Nativity, and you may have seen this, what they call the Door of Humility. It's this little doorway that you have to bow down in order to walk through. There's a lot of ideas about why this door was built. The most practical reason is because they probably wanted to stop the crusaders of old from riding their horses into the worship services, which is a problem we have here all the time, I tell you. But so they built this door, but regardless of the practical reasons, there's a great theological truth to it that they also wanted to communicate to those who would gather for worship in this place. And that is, you have to bow down. You want to enter into the presence of God. And to that I say, amen. For it is the humble and the penitent who find their way into the presence of Jesus Christ. And they are the ones who receive what He has to offer. The question I need to ask today is, have I come to the realization of who Jesus is? And what he accomplished through the cross and the resurrection. Have I become convinced of how much I need what Jesus makes possible? The second thing I would point out about our calling, based on the text, is that I'm called to a transformed life in which I move from being a sinner to being a partner with Jesus in his mission. And I can think of little that's more extraordinary than this. God calls me to move from being a sinner to being a partner with Jesus in His mission. Isn't that fabulous? Hello? I think this is good news. Now, in verse 9, it indicates that the size of the catch amazes the disciples. They know that a miracle has occurred. And Jesus calls Simon Peter to this new life. To this new purpose, Peter demonstrates a humble openness that allows Jesus to transform the life of the sinner. Now, there are several things to see here. First, Jesus does not hesitate to involve sinful, imperfect people in his mission and purposes. Woo! Aren't you glad? Because if it was any other way, none of us would be here today. But by God's grace, here we are. And God's kingdom comes among us and through us. In verse 10, Jesus does not chastise Peter in his humility. He calms him with the call not to fear. Don't be afraid. I know who you are. I know what you are. Don't be afraid, Simon Peter. And then Jesus calls him into a life of discipleship and ministry. What we see is that God transforms sinners into servants. We also need to see that Simon Peter's life was transformed so that he was no longer simply a professional fisherman. He was a fisherman who was working for Christ's purposes on earth. See, Jesus shows up in Simon Peter's life and makes him so much more than what he was. Jesus calls sinners to share in his work and his mission. And this day on the beach was the last time Simon Peter and his partners would ever be just fishermen. From then on, they would be something much more than that. The priority of their lives was no longer fishing for a living, but following Jesus Christ and fishing for people. Everything changed. These men and their lives became more than what they had been before Christ. I also see here that I am a fish who can relate to others what it means to be pulled out of the water by God's grace to live a new life for God's purposes. I've been rescued, and that's what the language says, that the fish are rescued out of the water. They are set free, and Peter will participate in this work in which people are gathered and rescued from the dangers of a fallen world. And unlike fish who are caught to be flayed and devoured, Peter will catch people to bring them into life. And he will not use boats and nets, he will use the Word of God. People will be gathered and people will be rescued. Simon Peter's life becomes about more than fishing. It becomes larger than his sin and even his own unworthiness. There's a story of this man venturing through a market in Mexico City where he encounters an old man selling 20 strings of onions. And this tourist asks the old man, "How much is a string of onions?" And the old man says, 10 cents. And the tourist asks, "How much for 2 strings? "Well, it's 20 cents. "Well, how much would it be if I bought all 20 strings of onions?" And the old man said, "I would not sell you 20 strings." "Well, why not?" The tourist asked, "Aren't you here to sell your onions?" And the old merchant said, "No, I'm here to live my life. I love this marketplace. I love the crowds and the red serapes. I love the sunlight and the wavering palmettos. I love to have friends come by and say, 'Buenos dias,' and talk about babies and the crops. That is my life. And for that, I sit here all day and sell my 20 strings of onions. But if I sell all my onions to one customer, then my day is ended. I have lost the life I love, and that I will not do." Think about your life. Has my life become larger and more meaningful than my profession, my relationships, my hobbies, my sin, my failures? Does Jesus take my life and turn it into something more? Does my life reveal and contribute to the great rescue that Jesus brings? What kind of life are you living today? The last thing I would point out about our calling from the text is this. Peter reveals the appropriate response to the call of Christ on my life. Immediate and unconditional. When God speaks to us, when do we respond? When things are convenient for us? Well, the Bible says no. We respond immediately. We respond unconditionally. Look back at chapter 5, verse 11. It says, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. See, Jesus is the kind of person who deserves a response. And the fishermen do not hesitate in how they respond. Immediately, they pull their boats up onto shore, they leave it all behind, and they follow Christ. This tells me that I am called to leave my other concerns behind right now in order to follow Jesus as his disciple and co-laborer. This idea of following will be a standard image for discipleship, one that is grounded in the Jewish tradition. Jewish students would leave their homes and their families behind in order to follow the rabbis wherever they went. They would live with them. They would travel with them. They would attend to their needs and spend day and night exposed to the kind of life that these rabbis lived and hear their teachings. The center of the lives of the disciple was to be Jesus Christ. And so Jesus calls the disciples away from their lives, their previous concerns, so that they can live with him and experience intimacy with him by following him on a daily basis. And Jesus calls us to the same kind of life, where we draw close to Jesus every moment of the day, every moment of the night, and experience what it is to live in his presence so that we are shaped to live a life that is very much like Christ. And Jesus calls me to live this life now. Now. But some of you here are not old enough to remember the old Ronco infomercials that came late at night on TV. You remember those? Where they gave you deals that were too good to be true, too good to pass up even. Deals on products that were meant to make your life easier at one super low price. You remember these things? For instance, you have the Chop-O-Matic, where all your onions would be chopped to perfection without shedding one single tear. Aren't you interested in that? Now, wait, there is more. In addition to the Chop-O-Matic, you may also get the Veg-O-Matic, which slices your tomatoes so thin they have only one side. I'm not making this up. But wait, there's still more. If you act now, you will receive the Ronco Pocket Fisherman. And you get all of these at one low price. Now, think about it. How much would you expect to pay for these fine items? $39.99? No. Not $29.99, but $19.99. If you call now, because operators are standing by. Here's what I'm saying. Jesus calls you to act now on his invitation to follow him and become a partner in his mission. He implores you, and we'll look at this again and again. He challenges people not to delay. Now is the time. While you can, act on what I've said. And here, think about what you get. You receive a new purpose and meaning for your life. You receive intimacy with Jesus Christ, your Savior and your King. You are rescued from this world and receive new life in Christ, a life that never ends. You receive the opportunity of telling others about this incredible new life and rescue that Jesus makes available. And I wonder, how much would you expect to pay for an opportunity like this? Jesus calls you to leave everything behind and follow him. Everything. So what does it mean for you to leave everything behind and follow Jesus? What are the implications for your life? And what's keeping you from answering Jesus' call right now? See, the Lord speaks. Why not you? Why not everything? And why not right now? I'm going to pray, and then Eric will come and lead us in a time of response. How do you need to respond to God's calling on your life? Let's pray together. Lord, we are humbled and honored that you display your mighty power and glory and grace in our lives. And that sinners like me find rescue and new life. That you give meaning and purpose to a life like mine. I say thank you. And you've called me to participate with you in your mission. You think that I can do it, that I am worthy to be included in your purposes for your glory. I will not be left out of what you're doing on this earth. All I have to do is believe you, to leave everything else behind and go with you where you're going. So, Father, I pray that you would speak now into the lives of these gathered here and call their names, call them out into the deep water where they can put down their nets. I pray, Father, that you would speak the truth about them, about who you are. Pray that they would see the need for how much they need you. And I pray, Lord, that you would show each person here today what it means for them to leave everything behind and follow you. Why not now, Lord? Now call forth from us a response that's worthy of your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.